It is from men's hearts that evil comes. It is from men's hearts that good comes. So often we give the value of a person to their appearance. And that is incorrect. What's greater, the physical or the spiritual, the external or the internal? We ought not to judge from outside what lies within. In ancient times, for entertainment, rather than plugging into something, people went to the drama. The great dramas of the Greek world were either tragedies or comedies. And the comedy, not like a sitcoms today, but a comedy that would result in joy. So either it was joyful or sorrowful, good or bad, as is our life at the end. And of course, the different characters in the Greek plays would depict themselves by having a mask on their face, or if they had a variety of roles, they'd have a mask on a stick, which they could quickly change. And by changing their voice, their tone, and their facial appearance, they became a different character and could play a different role. Well, the same happens today. People depict themselves, provide an external appearance of who they are on Facebook or some other form of technology. Or they just appear in a certain fashion or form, and yet what lies within is rather distinct or different. So we must be always wary of judging by what we see. You and I do not know what lies within. And our Lord is saying, good and evil comes from within the heart. And ancient cultures all taught this and believed this, as we should. Some years ago, I read a book by a great philosopher, Dietrich von Hildebrand. It was entitled The Heart. He escaped from Nazi Germany during the war through Vienna, came to the States and taught there for about 30 years. He wrote a great variety of books. Not all were translated from the German into the English, but The Heart was in the 50s. A marvelous work, which is now out of print. But in that he asked the question, what is the heart? Today, medical people will say, well, it's a pump, it's an organ, it's a vital organ in our body, and this is how it functions, and blah, blah. He says, other languages have another word for the heart. I know in Greek it's cardia, that's where cardiology and the cardiac and so forth, but they have another meaning to it, and how true that is. So he walks through and says, well, apart from being an organ, what is it? It's the source of our feelings, some would say. It's all our feelings come from our heart. Our thinking comes from our reason, our choices from our will, but the heart is the source of all that we desire, our emotions. He says, yes, that's true, but our feelings come and go, and yet our heart remains. The longing of a heart will remain constant, even though the feelings, like the waves of an ocean, are here and there. So he goes on to the next stage and says, well, perhaps the heart's deeper than feelings. It's, yes, it's a source of all affectation. And he works his way through that and says, yes, but there are things in the heart which aren't affections. So there must be more to the heart. And borrowing upon the great mathematician Blaise Pascal, he brings up the point that the heart has reasons that the mind knows not. Now, your mind is not your brain that uses your brain, but your mind is the faculty of your soul, the intellect, which has reasons why you do things. 2 + 2 = 4, Father's Day is today, and so forth. And then, of course, your will chooses those things. But the heart can bypass all that. And one access point to the heart is music. That's why music and the heart can sway people far quicker than any dialogue or discourse. And behind this lies the belief that the heart is a source of what we call intuition. Intuition doesn't often have reasons behind it. It's just, we say, a gut feeling. I know that was the answer. I know that's where you were at. I had that intuition, that deep belief. That's the heart. And Dietrich works from that and says, what is the heart then? He says, well, the heart is who you are. The face is what you project to the world, but the heart is the source of who you are. It's your inner being. And I think that's so true. And that's why, in the Catholic tradition, we adore the Sacred Heart, the heart of Jesus and that statue there. It's not just an organ, it's who Christ is for you and for me. So the heart is far more potent than we can first imagine. And our Lord reminds us of the importance of a heart that's purified, made like unto His. Just as we have cleaning of the body and we detox ourselves at times, and we ought to do the same for our heart, detox the heart. One good way we can do that is by just stopping the day, perhaps at midday after the Angelus, and asking ourselves, where was my heart, the desires within, over the last hour? We constantly have desires within our heart, for good and for bad. Where were they over the last hour? Were they focused on my work, the garden, some issue, some addiction? Where were they over the last hour? Where were they over the last morning? Where should they be? It's a bit like pulling things back to where they ought to be. And that's a good way of focusing. It's called examination of conscience, or particular examine. Detoxing the soul, detoxing the heart, pulling our desires within the context of where God wants us to be in our vocation and role of life. And speaking of vocations, we touch upon fatherhood today. We ought to acknowledge our fathers. We ought to love and respect them simply because we only have one Father. As we have God the Father in heaven, God has provided us a Father on earth. Be he living or dead, we pray for him at this Mass. We'll pause during the Eucharistic prayer, think about him, place his name upon the altar. That's how we connect with God and we pray for him. Irrespective of what he's done, irrespective of where he's at, we also pray for his desires within the heart, that more and more fathers may come to realise the greatness of their vocation. Paternity, today, the word pater means father in Latin, paternity is under attack. In fact, in some sectors of our culture, paternity, fatherhood, is seen as redundant. We don't need dads, thank you very much. We can do quite well without them. That's a tragedy. That's a travesty. We ought to hold dear to our hearts what God has given us. We all come from a mother and a father, and their roles are sacred before God because ultimately they come from God. So we pray that we might always have a strong and holy desire that fathers be what God intends them to be, and that they might fulfill their role as good protectors, not predators, and provide for their children and for their culture, the society at large. So we turn to our Heavenly Father. We thank God for our Father on earth. We pray that our hearts might become like our Father in heaven. And through the offering of Mass and through our prayers, we come closer to him who will purify our hearts so that one day we shall see him heart to heart, face to face.